So tell me, how did you get interested in the topic of pumpkins?
Well, actually, I was helping a good friend of mine sell pumpkins from his farm stand outside of Washington, D.C., and I started, after I was working out there several weekends in a row, I started wondering what's going on. Why are literally thousands of families driving 30 miles from their home out to the country to buy this vegetable that they're not even going to eat? And then, of course, there's the tradition of putting these vegetables on your front stoop and actually eating it as a pie when most people around the world eat pumpkin without any kind of pomp and circumstance most times of the year. And then, of course, actually in the last few years, too, there's been these pumpkin festivals that these small rural towns throughout the country have put on when most of them don't have any economic ties to the vegetable.
So why is that? Why is there so much pomp and circumstance about pumpkins?
Well, actually, there didn't used to be. So in the colonial era and the pilgrims we associate with it, at Thanksgiving, there was actually no mention of the pumpkin at the famous Thanksgiving dinner. But they probably ate it that day, but they probably ate it the day before and the day after, too. So pumpkin was a food of last resort. It was a food that European colonists could rely on when they couldn't grow the cabbages they were used to use, the onions they were used to, the barley and the wheat. They could rely on the prolific pumpkin. But pretty soon after their arrival into the 19th century, then most Americans could eat the foods that they want. And so the pumpkin became associated with the old-fashioned way of making a living off of land. It became associated with hard times. In the 19th century, then, when a lot of Americans were moving into cities, they started to, at the time then that the pumpkin was least economic valuable in the marketplace, it started to appear in poems and Winslow Homer paintings, and it was published in these popular weeklies. So it started to become popular again because of the ideas associated with it. It was associated with the small family farm of making a living off the land. There was no economic value for it. It was this big, round, beautiful vegetable, and so it represented this old-fashioned way of making a living off the land more than anything else.
And you say prolific. Was it really easy? It just grew kind of on its own?
Yeah. So you throw in a few seeds and you get hundreds of yards of plant and many prolific vegetables. And also it saves well. So it's a product that it's very diverse. So they'd make soup out of it. They make beer out of it. They made bread out of it when there was no barley for bread, for beer. When there was no wheat for bread, they could rely on the prolific pumpkin. And it's stored well too. But no one liked to eat it. So as soon as they could, they would rely on something else. But because of those old ideas associated with it in the 19th century, that's when Americans, with the creation of this national Thanksgiving holiday that's associated with the harvest, that they relied on the pumpkin. So you can sort of understand why Americans would turn a pie and apples into a pie or cherries into a pie, but why the bland tasting vegetable? And it's not necessarily because of the taste, but I think of these associations that we have for it. And so it was the idea that it represents this old-fashioned way of making a living off the land. So as Americans move into cities, they move into office jobs, they still like to think of themselves as farmers at heart. And the pumpkin is a way for them to maintain those connections.
So was it Thanksgiving that really was the tipping point for giving the pumpkin its popularity in the U.S.?
That played a big role, but there's a story that comes before that that shows why the pumpkin became the pie that we ate at Thanksgiving. So the Sarah Jessica Hale is the woman that actually helped to make Thanksgiving a national holiday. Lincoln passed it into law in 1861. And she wrote all kinds of stories about the pumpkin, very nostalgic and cozy warm stories about going back to the farm and eating pumpkin. And she was actually a very strong abolitionist too. And there's other Whittier, John Whittier wrote a lot of poems about pumpkins. He was a strong abolitionist. The woman, Lydia Marie Child, who wrote the famous story Over the River and Through the Woods, To Grandmother's House We Go, ends with hooray for pumpkin pie. She was actually also a strong abolitionist. So the pumpkin farm and the pumpkin farmer were seen as this very old-fashioned way of making a living off of land, but was held up as this noble cause. And it was seen as something that they contrasted with the slaveholding South, the small family farms of New England. And so the very close relationship between the people are very nostalgic about pumpkins and then also strong abolitionists. So in the South, for example, the popularity of pumpkin wasn't nearly as it was in the North. So as you know now, even now in the South or among some African-American communities, they prefer sweet potato pie. Because in the South, the idea of a very small farm subsistence farming was associated with tenant farming, and it didn't nearly have the nostalgia or sense of reverence as it did in the North. And also pumpkin roller or pumpkin farmer was kind of a derogatory way to describe African-American farmers at the time. Sweet potatoes, on the other hand, is an African origin food. So a lot of African-Americans prefer sweet potato pie because the story of the pumpkin, even though pumpkins were available in the South, the story didn't resonate as much in those communities as in the North.
Oh, that's fascinating. And the Peter Pumpkin Eater, does that have something to do with that dynamic as well?
It's the start of the bigger story that the pumpkin wasn't such a noble fruit for a long time. It's seen as like a country bumpkin, that sort of thing too. And the idea that, and then in his case too, that he can't control his wife. And the pumpkin is a container for women, as we see that in the Cinderella tale also. So for men, the pumpkin is often being associated with being a pumpkin head, being kind of a nincompoop or empty-headed but pompous. But for the women, it's been associated with her body and maybe unbounded desires in reproductive capacity. So these folktales relate to those traditions.
And then the pumpkin today.
People in the 19th century started celebrating the pumpkin because of its association with the small family farms. Then in the early 20th century, people started taking these Sunday drives in the country when they had these cars. And literally there's stories of pumpkins farmers talking about going down the road with a truck full of pumpkins to feed to their hogs. And then someone would stop them to ask to buy their pumpkins. And so that's really how the business started. But it really took off in the 1970s. That was the era in American agriculture where a lot of farmers were put out of business. There's a change in agricultural policy. It was a time of a lot of foreclosures. There was a lot of suicides. This was a time of Farm Aid with Willie Nelson trying to draw support. And so Americans who like to think of themselves as farmers at heart were stressed that we were losing this tradition. This is the same time that these pumpkin farms that we often go out to today really got going. And it's because these small-scale farmers really saw a niche market for themselves, that they could open up their farms and create these forms of pumpkin lands for people to come visit and keep their farms in operation. And then at the same time, when the populace was eager to be able to support and go out to see a real family farm when they feel like they were threatened at the time. Nowadays, the pumpkin actually keeps these farms in operation. It keeps farmers able to farm instead of doing something else. So there's recently there was a farmer interviewed in Pennsylvania. And he has about 225 acres. It's been in his family since the 1890s. And pumpkins make up 75% of his annual income. There's stories of farmers pulling up their pigsty to put in a pumpkin patch because they make more money selling pumpkins 6 weeks of the year than they do raising hogs all year round. Or one woman in New York said, one giant pumpkin is worth 2,000 heads of cabbage. So people are buying the pumpkin for these very romantic ideas about Americans being farmers at heart, but it's actually helping to rejuvenate small family farms. It's changing how markets operate. The popularity of the pumpkin is still increasing. And so, and actually there's statistics too about the sales of pumpkins is increasing all around. Now the story of it too is that, so for example, the most industrial form of pumpkin agriculture is Libby's canned pumpkin. So they produce about 85-90% of the canned pumpkin that's marketed for pumpkin pies. Now in the 1970s, they tried to have a big corporate sized farm in California and then ship their pumpkins back to their plant in Morton, Illinois, but it didn't pay off. So since then they continue to distribute their seeds around 50 small family farmers. That's about 300 acres apiece that are with about a 50-75 mile radius of their plant. So even the most industrial form of pumpkin production is helping to sustain small family farmers.
Wow. What about just popular culture and the pumpkin's kind of involvement there?
Well, there's no practical reason to put pumpkin in your cup of coffee. So I think the appeal to pumpkin spice latte has a lot to do with these, maybe the taste, but also these warm associations that we have with cozy associations we have with pumpkins in the fall season and how much they epitomize that. But what I found is really curious is there's been a really strong backlash against pumpkin spice latte. And I tried to figure out why. You don't nearly have the backlash or the chatter on the internet about the eggnog flavoring or cranberry flavoring. So I've tried to figure out why that people would care so much about pumpkins. And I think maybe part of the reason could be is that commercializing something like the pumpkin that represents these old-fashioned values, agrarian values, seems more crass than commercializing something else.
What else about the pumpkin did you find was very unique or amazed you in your research?
Well, the size, we can start there. So it might be impressive to have a 28-ounce apple or a 2-ounce cherry, but nothing compared to what is now, I think it's 200, 2,562.5-pound pumpkin. I think I could be wrong. I think that's it, though. That's the world record pumpkin. So certainly a size. And certainly these giant pumpkins represent how the meanings are so much more important than the meat. I mean, you can have it just a cookie that's shaped like a pumpkin. You don't even need a real pumpkin anymore because the values are so important. But sure, you can see that, especially with this giant 2,000-pound pumpkin, that the meat is mealy. You can't even move the thing. It doesn't taste good, and so it really represents how much important we, you know, epitomize this vegetable for the meanings that it possesses, and not just and not the meat we eat it for.
Cool. Do you think pumpkin patches are here to stay today?
There's no reason to think that this attachment that Americans have to this agrarian way of life and the ability to go out and participate it is slowing down at all. And I think especially, too, in the modern food movement, where there's appreciation of local farms and what they can do for the health of communities, that I think they'll probably stay popular for a really long time. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add or anything else that's really important to the pumpkin story?
I think really one of the important hooks for me is that we're in a time when people are concerned about what people eat in terms of obesity rates, and also in terms of, in the bigger picture, too, about issues of starvation when the population is supposed to increase till 10 billion people by 2050. So if you want to try to get people to eat more of one thing than the other, the story of the pumpkin is about how you really need to pay attention to the values of people that people invest in their food. So food is not just about nutrition. It's not just about calories and vitamins and iron. It's really about the ideas that they represent to people. And that is what inspires people's appetite for something. So that Americans have a real strong appetite for making connections to farm life. And a pumpkin allows them to do that.